I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, guys? It is FFPC Playoff Challenge Week. We are kicking things off here early, special edition Monday. We got Davis Maddock, we got Ben Gretsch, we got Pat Corain. This is also going to be posted on the podcast feed. So if you're listening there, thank you for tuning in. Fellas, we got playoffs to talk. Pat is already deep in his spreadsheet grind. I've seen some preliminary ownership projections, which we are going to dive into even more on Wednesday. But I'm thinking for today, we're going to go what? Team by team here, some initial chalk thoughts, and maybe indulge a galaxy brain play or two. What do we say?
I say we do it.
Gret? Yeah,
I'm always excited for this.
Yeah, this is one of our favorites. Gretch, you're over there. You know, you're scraping 538 data. I mean, you're deep in the weeds, too.
Scraping. Copy pasting 538 data.
He's scraping it by hand, bro. Yeah. He's in the data mill, scraping it off
he's
the walls.
IPhone is.
Yeah, I built out some, you know, whatever, games played. Little things. I this is Pat's Christmas. I know he gets really excited.
I do.
I'm excited to see the ownership stuff that he's pulled up.
I get like secondhand enthusiasm from how much Corain loves this. Like these contests, these contests are like fine to me. I never like loved them. And then when I met Pat, he like loves them so much that I like about week 15, I'm like, oh dude, the playoff contests are coming. Like, I start like getting hyped for it just because Corain loves them so much.
Well, this is what happens to me every year is we start and it's like, yeah, this is fun. And then by lock, it's like we're mad dash throwing in like 100 teams and falling contests like, we need this team in there. We want this one. It will take over your life. Pat, let's not take for granted that everyone knows about this contest. Why don't you give them just a quick overview of what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, so this is the FFPC Playoff Challenge. And the basic rule is that you pick one player from every team. You're only going to pick – you're going to pick all teams but two because this year with the 14 playoff teams – it's a typical FFPC roster, quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, two flex, tight end, kicker defense, but with two additional flex spots added. So those extra two teams this year in the playoffs, you get the flexibility to play them as flex players. You pick, yeah, one player from each team, and you cannot double up. So once you pick Patrick Mahomes, that's it. No more Chiefs. The only other twist is that the Super Bowl is worth double points.
And what have you found over the last few years of grinding this pretty close are like some common threads that, like, kicker and defense. Do you want to have – is there like a – I mean, obviously some of these teams, some of your players are only going to play one game. Do you prefer to have, like, use the kicker and defense with the one-game teams? Is there any kind of outside chance that you'd want a team that plays twice for your kicker or your defense or anything like that, or quarterback, or, you know?
Yeah, so I kind of think of it as like a hard fade and a soft fade. So you're going to hard fade two teams. Everyone is going to have to hard fade two teams by not selecting any players from them. But then you're also going to play a kicker and a defense from two other teams. So those are basically soft fades. Like, you're not really hoping your team advances if you take a kicker and defense. And one thing we have noticed is that, like, you'll see people potentially, like, fade. Let's just say, for example, people might fade the Browns and take the Steelers D. That's not a very good idea, I don't think, right? Because you're sacrificing a game, and then one of, you know, you're hoping the Steelers advance, but now you have their D for two games, so that's not great. Or there's the potential that you get zero games out of two games from the Browns. So I would be conscious of that. Like, if you're soft fading a team or hard fading a team, you probably want to play an actual player on the other side.
I think what Pat's trying to say is your lineup needs to tell a story for how these playoffs are going
to
go.
You need to have a thesis.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to do here, like we said, we're going to go team by team, and we are, you know, Pat has done his first batch of ownership, so we might reference that a little bit. We're going to dive more into the weeds on specific ownership stuff, so we're going to be more general today. But do you guys want to just start with the buy teams that are going to have some of the most popular players here, I would assume, Pat?
Yeah, let's do it. Let me answer Hank's question here real quick, which is, if Pat Mahomes is on a team, do I have to just suck it up for the first week? Yeah, you don't get any points from the guys on bye, but because the Super Bowl is worth double points, you know, those teams have a better chance of advancing the Super Bowl. So it kind of works itself out a little bit.
There's potentially no one going to be playing in every game, right? Like, if it became a Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. So you're going to have to suck it up at some position, some weeks. It's just how it works.
So let's start with the Chiefs. We will go to boots on the ground, Davis Maddock. I mean, obviously three kind of standout options here for your Chiefs player, and then potentially a Galaxy brain. Who do you think will be the most popular Chiefs player here in the contest?
So obviously in years past, people have just jammed in Mahomes because he's been so great. Although last year was a little different, though, because Lamar was such a fantasy force, so it did kind of mellow out the ownership a little bit. This year, though, it's just going to be Kelce. You know, Kelce had this record-breaking regular season, the FFPC. Pete, I don't know if you know this. It is tight end premium.
Holy shit.
And my first thought when I was coming to do, you know, these teams was like, in a straight-up snake draft that's not even tight end premium, I have Kelce ranked as my number one overall player for the playoffs. The other tight ends in the playoffs, we have Logan Thomas. He's a pretty big dog to play more than one game. We have Jared Cook. We have Mark Andrews. We have Jonnu Smith. So basically a bunch of shit bums, like guys who have just been, Logan Thomas, to be fair, Logan Thomas has been really consistent all year. Mark Andrews, you know, he holds the promise, but like Kelce is 10 points better, 8 points better a game than every other tight end here in terms of how he'll be projected. So I think he is just going to flood ownership.
That's interesting.
That really hurt my Mark Andrews exposure in like pretty much every format through the end of the year and still playing with DFS.
I loved that guy. He was brutal, dude. Like the drops and it's not good.
So Gretch, if Davis is correct with Kelce being the most popular, which leverage would you prefer of the other big three options?
Well, I think Mahomes would probably be second most popular, and I think that makes Tyreek sort of the obvious leverage probably. And obviously we know he has massive ceiling. You know, as Pat said, the Super Bowl is worth double. If the Chiefs do go there, as you know, they're the strongest favorite to advance to the Super Bowl and obviously to win it as well. If they do go there and Kelce has one bad game or whatever, with the Super Bowl being double, especially if Kelce doesn't have a big game in the Super Bowl, you can see a lot of scenarios where Mahomes or Tyreek is right and Kelce's wrong. So,
Pat, can you – obviously the big three, you can't fault anyone for doing that. Do we have a Galaxy Brain play here?
Yeah, the Galaxy Brain play is CEH.
Yeah, it is, buddy.
I think Davis probably should make the case for this. I think he's the most excited for.
I thought Darwin was the Galaxy Brain play.
Oh, don't even tease me, bro. Like the stuff with him was so incredible in Week 17. So, anyways, Damian Williams. These are his playoff numbers for the last 2 years. In 2019, in the playoffs, Damian had 20 targets in 3 games. 2 receiving touchdowns, 5 touchdowns total, or 6 touchdowns total in the playoffs last year, 4 touchdowns in 2018 and only 2 games, 14 targets. It's basically the idea that Andy Reid does stuff a little bit differently in the playoffs. The running backs get more involved. It's pretty thin, because what's happened this year in Kansas City is Reid is like, Sammy Watkins, you suck. Mecole Hardman, you suck. Deion Yelder, you suck. We're throwing to 2 dudes, and that's it. And I mean, this Le'Veon stuff is terrible. Like, he looks awful. I have a bad feeling that there's going to be a key 3rd and short or 4th and short where Andy Reid gives the ball to Le'Veon Bell in a big spot in the playoffs, and he is going to lose like 7 yards. Like, I'm already having that premonition.
A bad feeling? I wish you could bet on that.
Yeah, I wish I could bet on this. If anyone wants to offer me money on this exact wager, I would love to get down. But basically, the idea is that Andy Reid has always used his running backs to catch passes in the red zone, and that trend is going to exacerbate itself. And we can just guarantee Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be mega low owned in these contests because of how they work.
Yeah. I think it'll be sub 5 for sure.
I was just going to say, too, one other thing to think about when we mention like Galbrain plays and stuff with this is you do treat this similar to a DFS contest, where if you're eating a lot of chalk in other spots, maybe you do play Clyde Edwards-Helaire from the Chiefs as your kind of one really unique differentiator. I think there's different ways you can go, but you could play more chalk around Clyde Edwards-Helaire than you could play
Lamar, Steph Diggs, like whoever you want. Yeah.
I'm curious. So was Williams on the winning teams in the last couple of years? I haven't tracked that.
He would have had to have been last year. I would be shocked if he wasn't. I mean, Pat would know better than I would.
Mahomes was on the winning team last year.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's because it is because 2x the quarterback points though in the Super Bowl, like what that, I mean, he probably got 22 fantasy points or something. So yeah,
it was huge. Let's move on to Green.
Wait, before we move on, I did want to just, how frothy do you think the Kelce ownership gets? Because like last year, Mahomes was only at 15% because Lamar was massive quarterback chalk. So I'm actually struggling to where to put Kelce, because Kelce was at 50% last year.
Kittle probably higher this year. There's some other good quarterbacks this year. Josh Allen, Lamar can still be played.
But do you think Mahomes is still down at 15% last year with a much better chance? You know, people more excited about his Super Bowl odds.
I think this year, I mean, what was the narrative that's been pushing in DFS and season long all year? Like how gross this tight end slate is. And then Kelce has a historic year, tight end premium contest. I think ownership is going to funnel to him because no one's going to feel comfortable with these other options.
Well, then Mahomes is going to be pretty interesting because he'll probably be 20%.
I think he goes up too, though, from that 15%. Like,
no, because the narrative is the Chiefs suck and it's the Bills. It's the Bills, right?
So like, but you're saying last year it was Kelce 50, Mahomes 15. They were only 65 total. You had another 35% on Tyreek and Damian and whoever else.
Tyreek was like 18. Damian was like 14.
I think it's more than 65 on Kelce and Mahomes is my point. Like, I think they both go up.
Yes, I think you're right.
So then Tyreek would just be.
It's sort of the letter. That's why I was thinking him.
Yeah, and we've had years like this, too, where it would be like one of Alvin Kamara or let's use this example because we're segueing here. Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, let's talk Green Bay Packers, the other bye. Pat, it's looking like you're expecting heavy ownership on Davante Adams here and Aaron Jones and Rodgers maybe flying under the radar a bit.
Yeah, I think that Davante Adams, just with this massive season – that he's going to come in as one of the highest owned players in the mix for the highest owned player. Last year, we saw Michael Thomas get up like really high in ownership into the mid 60s. The highest owned player was actually George Kittle, was at 77%. I don't think that Adams will be that high, but I do think he'll be in the 65 to 70% range.
Yeah. I think this is going to be interesting. I wonder if just the dud from Davante Adams in week 17 just lowers his ownership just a bit, just like people being like, he is human here. You know, I could see that impacting stuff a little bit with recency bias.
Is Tonyan the...
He's the Galbrain play.
He's the Galbrain play for Green Bay. Because he can still suck out like three touchdowns, even if he's terrible.
Right.
Like,
what if KC gets upset? I mean, if he plays in the Super Bowl, like there are obviously paths to him being to the top scoring tight end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Rodgers a Galbrain play? I mean, he'll be pretty low owned. I think he'll be like sub 15 for sure, maybe even sub 10.
I prefer at what I expect them to be owned and at what we expect from the positions. I like very greatly prefer Rodgers to Adams. Like if I don't end up doing swaps and I might not with you guys because you get so intense with the spreadsheets and I just do stuff on my own, I will probably do no Davante Adams. I will probably go just Rodgers and Tonyan as my Packers.
What about my issue with that is, so we saw a game like that in week 17 where Rodgers spreads the wealth. But because he's not going to rush a ton to keep up with some of these other rushing quarterbacks, like you do really need what? You need two of those games where it's like going to MVS.
No, you need them to beat New Orleans. You need them to make the Super Bowl.
No. But I'm talking about the type of games where he's the optimal Packer quarterback because generally Adams is going to capture so much of his production.
It's basically week 17.
Week 17 twice is what I think you need.
Yeah.
Real quick too here, as we go along, Jason talking about shouldn't your Mahomes play be decided by who you expect the Chiefs to play? And, you know, so we are the GPP bros here. We are not in the business of predicting outcomes. We are trying to make lineups that make sense with each other. So I am not going to be thinking about who Mahomes is playing in the playoffs on those.
He's telling a story.
Yeah. He's telling a story.
But do you have a serious point of, are you trying to project Super Bowl matchups when you're picking players?
Well, but I think, you know, you could potentially pick like a Saint or a Buck in the same lineup as Mahomes. Like if you have a thesis that Mahomes blows up in a better matchup and then you want to play that matchup on the NFC side, I think that makes sense.
Okay. As opposed to who you're choosing your opponent from is what you're saying.
Yeah. Like if you want to play, what's he saying? Mahomes is more optimal versus the Saints. So yeah, if you want to eat Kamara chalk and then play Mahomes.
But he's saying against Tampa, you might want to play Brady and Kelsey. If it's a Tampa, right. KC Super Bowl.
My counter is just structurally how those teams are built. Breeze is never going to be optimal, regardless of who or you are having go to the playoffs, just how they play. Like there's a reason he's not going to be an optimal.
Yeah. If Breeze comes in at 1% ownership, I will happily eat my 0%. I would never make a Breeze team. I would make a Jared Cook team ahead of a Drew Breeze team, to be honest with you.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on here. What should we start with? You want to start
We didn't say anything about Aaron Jones. Crane, just do 30 seconds on Aaron Jones.
Well, I mean, Aaron Jones last year was higher owned than Davante Adams, and it's his whole deal is touchdowns. So it's like if he just gets in the end zone. Also, now we have Aaron Rodgers not maybe gunning for the MVP. That whole you could get on the narrative street there, where they're actually just trying to get to the Super Bowl and win it. So you might see Aaron Jones potentially a little bit unleashed. And you're just going to have a massive ownership difference. I think Aaron Jones, I have a hard time seeing him get above 20%, just given the season that Adams came off of.
Yeah, he's a great leverage off Adams or Rodgers teams, right? Because if he's scoring the touchdowns, it's bad for the passing game.
And one thing we should just say, because I don't think anyone wants to toss out Kansas City as a fade. I feel like you could Galbrain Green Bay as a fade, weak as a one and done.
Their defense is so bad. It's so bad, which I know we're not supposed to admit here, but the defense is really bad.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Buffalo then. We'll hit the two seeds here. I assume Stephon Diggs is going to be massively popular here, followed by Josh Allen. Is there anyone else that's going to command any amount of ownership, Pat?
I don't see where it goes. I mean, you know, John Brown, Cole Beasley feel super galaxy brainy. So
my question is, will Allen be owned higher than Diggs?
No.
Yes.
No.
You think?
Not even close.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, last year we had Lamar was like the highest owned quarterback ever, and he was at 55%.
And we've seen too on these teams where there's just one standout skill position player like Diggs, like the ownership really condenses.
So that's a great point for when you're building your rosters and you want to get off stuff. These teams like the Bills with Diggs are the places to consider differentiating, because that makes sense. People are going to build that way. They're going to say, you know, who's the key player on this offense, and then they're going to fit their quarterback in somewhere else.
We have a comment here saying the Galaxy Brain play last year was Raheem Mostert, 10% owned, scored 80 points. Kittle was 77% owned and scored 28. And the Bills are a similar setup, I think, where Diggs could get up above 70% owned.
Isn't Super Cool Bees the guy here?
Kittle was 77% owned and Kelsey was still 50% owned. There's no anything close to Kittle this year. So you have to assume Kelsey's over 77 even.
Yeah. Like,
I don't think so, because it keeps you off of Mahomes and Hill. There's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, there was no, like, if you remember San Francisco coming in the playoffs last year, like Mostert was like there, but it wasn't clearly defined. And wasn't Debo banged up too? That. Yeah.
Debo was banged up. Yeah.
They had Manny Sanders too. So Debo was sort of like one. He was end of his rookie season. He was coming on, but he wasn't like the clear guy.
You have to think about the opportunity cost on that team as well. So I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the only thing, Davis, about Beasley is I feel like part of his run has been directly tied with John Brown being back and him coming back. I mean, do you think you can get 2-3 ceiling games from Beasley?
I think you can get 2. I think 3 is probably very unlikely, but because Bees, and this was the way he was with the Cowboys too, is like his role would be very low upside until they got into the red zone. He has always earned targets in the red zone more than his teammates, like more than you would expect. I would defer to Gretch on this, but it seems like the way John Brown has been used this year is like not as like a decoy, but they just leave him out on the boundary and they're like, okay, you go win, like go beat your one-on-one coverage. Whereas Beasley is getting to eat like the soft zone stuff. Like Beasley just gets to go run 7 yards and sit.
I do like Beasley. I was thinking about both these guys for the Galbraith play here. And I do like the Beasley call. And I agree with your takes on especially the red zone stuff, but it is interesting that his best stretch happened with Brown out of the lineup. And Brown came right back last week and had a big touchdown. I lean towards Brown as the better Galbraith guy, because especially if the Bills say play 2 games, I don't think it's that hard for him to hit 2 long touchdowns in a 2-game stretch and wind up as a better scorer than Diggs, basically.
Pat, I mean, we just mentioned the Mostert play. Obviously, that's on a much different team, a team that wants to establish it. I mean, can we make any kind of a case for Zach Moss here as a guy who's trending to take over that backfield?
It's thin, but I think if you're not doing Diggs, then the most obvious guy is Allen. And then we talked about the kind of thin wide receiver plays. But now if you play multiple games, those wide receivers are, you know, probably going to get outscored by Diggs and Allen. So they feel thin. So is there a way to pick a Bill where you're basically fading the Bills? So part of me says, like,
Tyler Bass?
Maybe you take Tyler Bass over Zach Moss, because you're just at a certain point, you're just betting for the Bills to lose. So you might as well just soft fade them.
Right. I think that's such a good point about the soft fade there. Like you like there are very few scenarios where Zach Moss like shreds for 3 games and they go deep. If they go deep, you want a piece of this passing game.
Yeah, I think if you want to try to pick guys who are going to be like fundamental pieces of their team's winning games. So the reason that Mostert play hit so hard, partly is because like San Francisco wants to run the ball and they have this awesome running system that they can kind of slot anyone into and they can crush. And that happened to hit like Derrick Henry last year. Like, you know, the Titans advanced on the back of Derrick Henry, but it's tough to like pick a guy like Zach Moss. Or are the Bills really going to go multiple games into the playoffs on the back of Zach Moss and not on the chalk Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs?
I would go the other way. I think Singletary would be the one that I would, like, if I was looking to Galbrain, which it's like, this is like, you'd have to be making like 100 teams to start being like, well, right. You know, Devin
either
Singletary.
Of these guys is in the winning lineup. The other thing I think is interesting with these guys is they play running back, and we just saw that Damian Williams was awesome last playoffs and didn't even make the optimal because there were other really good scoring running backs. It's a high scoring fantasy position. I almost feel like if you're going to go this crazy with the Bills, it's like Dawson Knox or something, because at least you can tell yourself Kelsey could have one game, Knox could play four, you know.
Yeah.
And then there might not be other high scoring tight ends. I think it's really hard to see scenarios where Moss and Singletary, to Pat's point, are the highest scoring Bills, but then are also the highest scoring running backs.
Right. Like that's a good point.
And so in that scenario, Ben, you're talking about like the tight end position just craters,
right?
And you just kind of take advantage of it with in a super cheap, low opportunity.
Right. He catches three touchdowns. They play four games. I don't know. Yeah, that probably still doesn't.
I don't like that either. Knox did get 8 targets in week 17. I don't know what to pull from that.
Yeah.
More running more routes and stuff. It's
all of their other tight ends keep getting COVID.
Pat, do we know how many teams are going to be in the big one here? They don't cap it, right? Or do they cap it?
They did cap it. I saw the number.
It's 12. Wait.
6250.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And so, Jeffrey, to answer your question, size massively factors into this. The prize pool is incredibly top heavy again. So making sure you have a unique team that can get access to that $500,000 top prize, I think, is a total priority.
Yeah. Good luck if you get 12th. You'll be not feeling very happy if you get 12th in this.
Yeah. 500,000 to first, 50,000 to second.
The other thing about this part of the comment talking about playing all chalk, this is from Fantasy Mojo's site. The chalkiest lineup last year was duped 95 times. There were 95 duplicates.
Please don't dupe me, bro.
I finished in 1,500 place. So you want to be careful. You really do want to be careful about you will get duped, bro, if you're not careful.
Yeah. The expected value of that lineup that's duped 95 times is it's very, very, very
what? Do 35 divided by 95 on air for me real quick.
In my head or on Google?
Just say it out loud because I'm not going to do the math, but I actually want to hear a lineup worth 7 cents.
Yeah, it looks like 36 cents.
Yeah, 30. Round up to 37.
Just play the best plays, bro.
We didn't read the question correctly. The second part, he's playing with 15 mostly casual players. So, yeah, that's hugely different if you're in a 15-person version of this contest.
Yeah, but I just took it as an opportunity to point out for the contest we're talking about.
Yeah.
There's a lot of chalk in it.
Pat is actually going to do specifically catered to 15-person playoff challenge home league stream at 3 a.m. right after
our lucrative 3 a.m. time slot.
All right. Let's go to the Saints here. Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, anything beyond that? Who do we think? I guess this comes down to Michael Thomas's health. Do we have anything about Michael Thomas right now?
No,
my feeling was pretty tentative because I'm just sort of waiting to see where the projections come in a bit. Right now, I have this tilted. I have Kamara as the highest owned player in the tournament.
Right.
But I could see things kind of moving.
Which makes MT a good leverage play. Like, I think I was telling Leone this like over a week ago, like MT is going to come back in time to be a really good leverage play because everyone's going to be on Kamara. If he's healthy, he can certainly outscore Kamara. But there is a lot of reason to be concerned, too. Like, there's, like, rumblings that there's some serious issues between him and Breeze dating back to the offseason stuff. And it is kind of weird that they deactivated him as soon as Breeze got healthy. I'm a little worried, like, how that's going to play out.
I love when Gretch digs into a narrative. And you don't get it very often.
Breeze and Michael Thomas, fractured relationship.
I still want it to be true that Breeze was the one that called him Slant Boy.
I just will say it. The Saints feel to me, if you're telling me Kamara is going to get this massive ownership, there's no other slam dunk option. Say Michael Thomas's health is an issue. They feel like a huge soft fade team to me. With the home game there, you maybe get their kicker, like a little Lutz action here, Pat. Do they feel like a soft fade to you?
Well, they have one of the best odds of playing the most games, you know, and they can get to the Super Bowl. So it's a little bit, it feels a little bit thin to me to soft fade them because they're playing the Bears and they're the biggest favorite of Wild Card Weekend. So you kind of need to.
And they get a home game in the second round if they win. They'll get back to back home games.
Yeah, that's I'm just Lutz just hitting 60-yard bombs, dude.
In the dome.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out like the best ways to leverage the Kamara ownership, or are we just going to fall in the camp of that's good chalk?
And I don't know how chalky it'll be because there's, you know, updates about MT maybe getting back and then Kamara's coming off the COVID list. He's not technically, you know, a lock for the game right now. So I don't, maybe people get a little bit of cold feet on him. I'm really kind of struggling right now. Like if,
They're a fade to me. I think they are just not good on offense, and it's just too. It's if Michael Thomas doesn't come back and they're throwing to like you know Juwan Johnson's got to win a playoff game. It's like I don't know, man.
But well, at home against the Bears, and then probably what at home against the Seahawks, like they're gonna get two games. You got to at least take their kicker in that scenario. That's why Pete's saying soft fade, and they might get three games. They might be one.
Yeah,
I think Thomas is the play. Like even if Thomas gets up to.
Right.
45%. I don't think he'll get up above that. I think Kamara will be the more owned of the two to some degree. If the Saints roll, it's probably because Thomas is healthy and, you know, is just kicking ass right away.
That's a great point. It really does feel like Kamara's the chalk that you eat. Thomas is the clear leverage because Kamara, even if he's healthy, Kamara's still going to wind up one of the highest owned players, right? And then a soft fade is the third option. It's kicker. It could be defense. You're getting Mitch Trubisky at home.
Yeah.
Like,
dude, Bears going to win this game, bro? Yeah.
I'm with Davis. I don't think the Saints are good. That's why
I think they're bad. I think the defense is good, but I just like watching Breeze short arm these throws just really puts me on tilt.
Any other Saints takes, Pat?
Well, Jared Cook almost counts as a soft fade.
Because tight end is just so rand, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have more thoughts on the Saints as the week progresses. Let's go over to some of these three seeds. Let's talk Pittsburgh here. Talk about another high seed that might not be good. Pat, what are we doing with the Steelers?
Yeah, the Steelers are kind of interesting to me because I don't know that they'll really have anyone that's going to be like massive chalk. I have their defense right now as the chalkiest play because I don't think they'll be all that popular. But then Deontay Johnson, I think fading the Steelers will be pretty popular. And then Chase Claypool and Juju Smith-Schuster will have some ownership. I wonder if people will get on James Conner at all, like down around 10%.
That's gross.
But the whole team is a little bit gross, and it just comes down to – like which wide receiver you pick is going to be like, do you pick a wide receiver? Or you just fade them and you know, soft or hard is the decision point.
Sorry to change the subject real quick, but this comment, no Taysom Love. Like that's a pretty good soft fade right there for the Saints.
Breeze gets injured. Taysom comes in.
Dude, we just sieged this playoff contest. Let's this out with Taysom Hill teams.
I was looking at the Steelers on the wide receiver front and thinking that Deontay would probably be the chalkiest. Claypool's a pretty good leverage play. And then Juju's sort of the Galbrain play that if he just becomes Juju again, but he's been so ugly, kind of his role's been so kind of gross all year that the upside doesn't seem like it's there.
Yeah. I wish I could make a case for Chase Claypool. I just feel like it's such a thin case.
The Connor take is, I mean, I don't, you were just saying people might do it. I don't think you were touting it, but it gets back to your earlier point, Pat, that the Steelers aren't going to win through Connor, right? Like they're not going to do a Raheem Mostert.
Yeah.
Deontay Johnson's probably, if you think the Steelers can win a couple games, you probably want Deontay Johnson, right?
No, don't you want James Connor?
No. Isn't James Conner just dusted?
I don't think the way the Steelers win is by hucking the ball 40 times. You know what I mean?
That's how they've won all year.
Yeah, that's all they do.
I just don't think they're gonna. I think they're bad. I don't know. This is the Saints. The Saints and the Steelers are the two teams I'm coming in here looking at this. Like I'm looking at the lines and I'm saying I think those are wrong. I think these teams are getting overrated a little bit.
But everyone thinks that about the Steelers. That's a really popular take.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. Yeah.
Yeah, I think fading or soft fading the Steelers will be pretty popular. And I think people are going to want to talk themselves into Nick Chubb a little bit.
Well, and take another thing here too. So the Steelers, so if Buffalo wins and the Steelers win, So the Steelers would then go on the road to Buffalo. I mean, regardless of where the Steelers are going, like they're going to be chucking, right? Like they're not going to be able to establish the run in round two against, you know, Kansas City or Buffalo. That's not happening. So I don't know. I don't have much. I think if you do think they win a couple of games, you take one of the wide receivers.
And they can't go to Kansas City in round.
You're right. You're right. Just Buffalo would be where they'd
go. They could win. I guess you could win on James Conner's back against the Browns, right? And then, yeah, you're right. Then at that point,
if you pick the Browns, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah. This is an interesting first round game though, because you said people are going to want to go to Chubb. Like the way that it feels like someone's going to. Or most people are going to either soft or hard fade one of these teams because people aren't high on Pitt.
Yeah.
But they might go with Chubb and then hard fade the Steelers. They might hard fade the Browns.
It reminds me a lot of New England and Tennessee last year because no one wanted to take anyone on New England really. So you had like, oh, I guess I can take James White. I guess I can take Julian Edelman, yeah. But didn't feel good. And then you wanted to talk yourself into Henry. So last year, Henry had 47% ownership.
As road dogs. That game was in New England.
Yep. And then 39% faded the Titans entirely. And then New England defense came in the highest at 33%. I think the Steelers are a little bit more interesting. Like, I don't think their defense will get that high. And I don't think Chubb will come in as high as Henry was, but it's a similar setup.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move over to the other three seed, the Seahawks. I think this is one of the more fun spots because there's four different ways you could go here. Ownership should be fairly spread out. Davis, are you going to give me a grown-ass man take?
Well, I mean, I'd love to, right? I think it might have just been beaten out of me though at this point to be like, look, bro, you just fade Henry. Like I saw someone tweet a crazy thing the other day about, oh wait, are we doing Seattle grown-ass man?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
Davis over there multitasking.
I am multitasking. But I have the same thought as it pertains to AJ Brown that I do to DK Metcalf, which is what I have been getting beaten chasing the GAM takes, you know, at this point, where Metcalf has just been given me nothing but Sklansky bucks for the last 6 weeks of the season. While I mean, Lockett just had a 14 target game in week 17. What do you have for the ownership there, Corrine?
I think people still be on Metcalf like 2-1 over Lockett, but
see, that's brutal for me because I would take Lockett at half the ownership.
I was thinking Metcalf chop too.
See, again, I worry about that. I think recency bias stuff is going to push it down. I mean, Davis loves DK Metcalf, and he's afraid to pull the trigger on him. So think about people who are more indifferent on it. And Lockett's coming off of the big game. I don't know, man. I still love DK Metcalf here. He was one of the great plays last year as a rookie in this contest, getting that ceiling game against the Eagles. I don't know, man. I think DK Metcalf's the play, and I don't think he's going to end up being that popular.
Do you think there will be, because Dan Masterson is saying Rams going to win a low scoring game. So what are the plays that are not DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and how popular are they?
It's Russ and Carson and there's no one else.
Yeah.
But do people
not playing Hollister
the Seahawks at all?
Maybe. Are they a smart fade team? I mean, I think the Galaxy brain plays Russ. Like can Seattle go all the way to the Super Bowl? Maybe Russ can.
Don't you guys feel like the Seahawks are just not good anymore? Like they had that insane run, but like I was doing some game log surfing yesterday. Like, Russ has more games with under 200 passing yards than over 300 since their bye week. Isn't that wild after how the season started for them?
Oh, this is a good comment. Davis, what do you think about the matchup for DK Metcalf?
Oh, dude, Jalen Ramsey, bro, two games in a row. They've, you know what? That's actually a good point. I'm back in on Metcalf. Just we gotta end the season. We can't be owned.
No, well, see, and again, we have like a tale of two seasons, right? For the Seahawks, where they were playing optimally at the beginning of the year, Russ cooking. And to Ben's point, like if we saw a version of that team, they can absolutely rip off some wins. But I think we're all feeling scarred from the establishing.
I don't like Seattle. To our other point, the NFC is way more wide open. The AFC is strong. All those games look really interesting this weekend. I like kind of all seven teams in some respect. The NFC, we're sitting here talking about maybe the Packers could be a soft fade even. Maybe the Saints could be a soft fade. Who's going to win the NFC? Someone's got to win it. And Seattle, I don't think is good either, to Dave's
point.
I don't think anyone in the NFC is good.
That you do make a good point. Like, we're sitting here wanting to fade all these teams. It's not going to be the Bears. You know, it's not going to be. Honestly, I think an interesting thing is kind of building your strategy around getting four games out of the Buccaneers, whether it be Brady, whether it be Rojo, whether it be Godwin, whether it be AB, you know, with this Mike Evans knee injury. And you just like every lineup you are doing, you know, Bucs skill position players. You don't take any of their kickers. You don't take their defense.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I like Russ a lot as a Galaxy Brain play, because I think he'll be pretty low owned. Like, if you want to get contrarian at quarterback, like, you know, you're going to be able to do so pretty easily. We're just talking about how Kelsey's going to be big time chalk. Like, you can get on Mahomes and feel good about that. You can get on Lamar and feel good about that. To Davis's point, like, I think people will have some interest in Brady and just making a bet on them going to the Super Bowl. So Russ is going to come in, I think, with really low ownership.
And Lamar, too, is the other one, like Brady. Like,
yeah,
if you're thinking of a four-game QB, you're probably going to get Brady and Lamar higher owned than Russ, I think.
Yeah.
For sure.
And the other nice thing about Russ as the Galaxy Brain play is you don't have to anticipate the Lockett or Metcalf game. Like, each of those guys could have a 40-point game during that stretch, and you capture it all through Russ.
That's a great point.
Yeah, and maybe they have to cook a little bit more.
We found the playoffs.
There we go. Let's make a lineup right now. Okay, let's go over to we're over to the four seeds. Let's start with the Washington football team.
Yeah, we're trying to keep this to an hour.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, long conversation about the Washington football team here. Although they actually have some interesting skill position players, Pat, if you can tell yourself a story on them winning.
Yeah, but I think most people will be telling themselves a story where Washington loses. And I do think that Tampa Bay will be pretty popular as a team to pick to make a run. You know, you want to talk about like recency bias and getting sucked into recent results. Like, Tampa Bay's looked awesome. The offense has looked awesome. So Washington's going to be a really popular fade. Picking a Washington skill position player and not
Logan
doing
Thomas, soft fade, get 18 FFPC points and just be like, you know, hope it's good. Honestly,
that's a pretty interesting
guess. Especially with two flexes, because you could still do Kelsey, you know. Yep. I mean, it's not crazy.
Yeah, you've got four flexes overall, so you got flexes.
Yeah, I won't be doing any Gibson, any McKissick, any McLaurin, probably even. I think they get boat raced in this game.
All right,
the chalk here is hard fade for sure.
Yeah. That'll be very popular.
What about Gibson? Do you have any interest in Gibson?
No.
McKissick is also a pretty interesting Galaxy soft Brain
fade
play.
Yeah, he's a good soft fade, I think.
I feel like if you were telling yourself a story of they shock the world and pull this off, don't you just play Terry McLaurin?
Yeah, but McKissick is an interesting play because you're telling yourself a story where they do get boat raced, but they just score some points while doing so.
And he catches 10 balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's both like a Galaxy Brain and 19 condom play at the same time.
it's a Galaxy branded condom.
Yeah. Let's go over to a more interesting team here. The Tennessee Titans, the big dog, AJ Brown. I assume we're going to see very condensed ownership on those two.
Yeah. Although I don't know if it'll be like condensed to those two so much as just on Derrick Henry. Last year, AJ Brown came in at 6% owned. So I could be higher than that, but it's just hard to, like, you know, last year, again, Derrick Henry's at 47% in a spot where I think people were less comfortable with him. So I think he'll be above where he was last year. I have him at 55 right now. I have AJ Brown at 11, almost twice as much as he was last year, but.
Yeah, I disagree with this take completely. You don't need to tell yourself a story to put someone at flex. You definitely do, and that's why I like Pat's story of the soft pit fade, because you're trying to tell yourself ways that they score some points with advancing but aren't a team that's dominating or ripping through. I think some of these home teams that are paper tigers are particularly interesting from a soft fade perspective, but I think you need to have a story about every guy you're putting in your lineup. Am I off here?
No,
you could argue you should start this by just picking the winner of every game.
Yeah.
Just pick what you think is going to happen in the playoffs and then build your lineup around that.
That's definitely the biggest edge, is actually correlating and actually telling a story and actually thinking through the way the games can play out and the whole playoffs could play out.
Yeah, just having a bracket basically for every lineup.
Yeah, and then you're trying to marry that with the projected ownership as well.
Yeah. Right.
And sometimes, depending on which direction you do it, like if you're doing it from ownership first, you might get on different bracket trajectories than if you just do like, these are the teams I think are going to win. You might funnel to specific players based on how you think those game scripts might go.
Right. And so like to Pat's point about Henry being chalk, I think Tennessee's an interesting one. They're dogs, right? Against the Ravens at home.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then
point, yeah.
And then you're thinking about game script. I mean, these are both teams that want to run. But if the Ravens get out ahead, they're going to run. It's going to be they're going to try to run clock. They're going to try and slow the game down. And Henry kind of gets scripted out sometimes. You're probably hoping you saw faded with an AJ Brown in that scenario, or maybe a Jonnu, but, or maybe a Corey Davis. He does well in these garbage time scenarios, but otherwise I think Tennessee's an interesting hard fade because there's some, I think people are going to want to play these names, either Henry or Brown.
Yeah. And because I believe this season, AJ Brown and Derrick Henry have been very positively correlated. Like they smash when the Titans smash. So I don't even think there's the avenue of like, oh, you get in a negative game script and Henry sucks, but AJ Brown smashes. Like that seems kind of thin to me too, from a game script story perspective.
Well, you want to get into the galaxy brain play here. It's Ryan Tannehill. I think he'll be like 2% owned.
Yeah, I actually like that.
Yeah, they can make a run too. I'm saying you can fade him in the first round, but they could also run. I mean, they've done it. They did it last year.
Yeah, and then they go on the road, right? They probably go to KC.
Yeah, that's a yikes.
Four seed. Well, if there's an upset, like if the Browns beat the Steelers, that keeps the Titans from going to KC, right? The Browns would then go to KC.
But if you do a Tannehill, like you can do, Kelsey, you can do Diggs because your quarterback's like 1-2% owned.
Yep.
And at a certain point, like if you have Kelsey in the Super Bowl, he's live to outscore Mahomes teams or whatever.
The tough thing with Tannehill, they could make a run. But you have to assume that at some point, if they make a run, they're doing a decent amount of that on the back of Henry, right? Like last year, Tannehill barely threw. People talked all offseason about A.J. Brown had a terrible postseason. They had games, because I remember repeating this 15 times talking about A.J. Brown. Two of their three games, they threw 15 passes and 16 passes. Those are insanely low pass volume numbers. That was two of their three games in the playoffs last year. Like if they have one game like that, you probably wanted Henry from the Titans.
Pat. Right. Just looking at your ownership right now on Henry, I feel like he comes in higher.
Interesting. Yeah, he was one of the guys I missed on last year thinking he was too high. So like I projected him more than he came in at. So maybe I'm going a little softer.
I still put a big premium on recency bias. I mean, we just saw this guy rush for 250 yards, 2,000 yard season, like How do you guys think the public perceives this matchup? Obviously, Vegas has the line set, but do you think the public views this as more of like a coin flip thing?
Yeah. Tennessee's at home. Yeah, I think so. I think they'll view it as like just two good teams.
And they literally just beat the Ravens last year in the playoffs. Like,
Right. Since. There's going to be people who think that they beat him last year and they beat him this regular season. I think there's going to be teams that think Titans should be favored for sure.
And so another concept we haven't talked about specifically, but this game is actually an interesting one to do it. And we can kind of segue here to talk about the Ravens. Like, if you play Lamar as your quarterback, are you hard fading Tennessee, or would you consider a soft fade in a shootout game?
No, I think you kind of like AJ Brown there.
You're definitely fading Derrick Henry.
Yeah. So I think that's an interesting thing. And Pat, you think Lamar might be fairly popular at quarterback?
I'm at like 15%.
I think every other Raven sucks.
What'd you say?
Every other Raven sucks. Like, you don't want to play any of them.
Yeah, I think Andrews will be pretty chalky.
Andrews, don't you?
Dude, I can't just. I lost a lot of money on Mark Andrews.
All right. I'm making notes as we talk. I'm just going to say Davis lost too much money.
Yeah.
Pat is using Davis as like a bellwether for like the public of just to try to anticipate where they're going.
That. Yeah, because I like what actually let's I literally don't even know how many yards do you guys know the answer to this? How many yards did Mark Andrews catch this year?
Not enough to justify drafting him in the second round of every FFPC league.
No. So he got in.
I would have liked more.
He got in 14 games, only missed two with the coronavirus. 701 yards. Now seven touchdowns. That was probably like the third most of any tight end. It's probably like Kelce, Tonyan, Mark Andrews. It's just the way it goes. But yeah, very disappointing from our guy, Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I should probably hate him more. He was on my 19th overall main event team.
Yeah, 19th. He cost you $500,000.
That pick may have been a pretty huge a huge minus EV pick right there.
Yeah, so what do you then? What? Okay, obviously, if you go Lamar, if you go Andrews, do you still have like a soft fade rule on Tennessee?
No, you. He probably even positively correlates with Henry, because if Andrews gets pelted with 14 targets, that means that the big dog has been to the dinner table.
Well, with the Ravens, I think it's like, forget everything else. Like, you have to pick a Raven. Like, what do you pick? Isn't it Andrews? Or would you rather
or Dobbins?
And then Marquise Brown is also, I think, the Galbraith play. That's who I put as my Galbraith play.
Yeah, I have him at 2%. I don't think people are going to want any of Marquise Brown though.
But he's been pretty good lately. Didn't he score twice? Maybe I'll bump him up. Or did one of them get overturned?
Yeah.
In week 17, he had two touchdowns.
He did score twice.
6 TDs in his last 6 games. I mean, this guy's been really good down the stretch in a way that, because he was so bad for so many weeks, and we were all like, he's on the air yards by low model, he's going to be good this week.
Yeah, we know he's not. He's like at least North Hollywood Brown now. Like he what we all. Yeah,
David, didn't you call him Seacockus Brown like last week?
I think it was 3 weeks ago, but I did. Yeah, pretty funny.
Yeah. The Ravens are tough. I could see Dobbins. I like that call too. I mean, he's been coming on pretty hot.
I'm playing with
Pat's fiddling with his ownership projection.
All right, what's our next team?
Yeah, one of these teams though, you probably want a soft fade. Sorry to
you're good.
Elongate this, but like they're both good teams, and people are going to probably play a good play from both because they want to. But one of them's going to lose in the first game. And so I think this gets back to the telling yourself a story. If you're committing to, especially if you're committing to Lamar, we talked about don't play Henry. If you're committing to a key player like Henry, then you don't want to play Lamar. And you don't want to play – you might want to completely fade the Ravens, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is okay to – because you have enough to do like a full shootout if you want to do that. But you should play it like you're banking on the full shootout. I can't remember. It was like 2 years ago. Amari Cooper went off opposite someone, and that was the correct way to play that.
That will be more popular than it should be, is sort of my point. Like, if you play Henry, you have already correlated to a full fade of the Ravens, and it will probably be a pretty good ownership play to full fade them at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Tampa here. We were talking about them. Interesting team. They've been tough from DFS perspective this year just because they spread it around so much. Pat, you currently have Rojo projected at 132% ownership. I don't even think that adds up.
No, that one's right. Yeah, okay. I triple check that.
So what are we thinking here, Pat?
I think Godwin's going to be the chalk here. I think Antonio Brown will be somewhat chalky just because it's the FFPC. There's a lot of
leaving it to our boy, Ronald Jones.
I have Ronald Jones at 15%.
Who did you say would be chalky? Sorry.
Godwin.
And Brady a little bit?
Brady, I think a little bit. I have him at 13, yeah, which is pretty chalky for, you know, not having any rushing equity or anything. I have Gronk at 7. I think he'll get a little bit of ownership. I have Evans at 7, which is like kind of a placeholder for now. But assuming Evans people don't feel comfortable with, I think Godwin and then Brown will be pretty chalky.
Yeah. And then Rojo's the clear Galbrain play. Just the Galbrain play of all Galbrain
plays.
Davis, who's your Bucs guy? Because you were interested in them when we were talking about it earlier.
I will probably play Godwin, AB, Gronk on every team. It hurts me to not include Ronald Jones in there,
No Jones?
Gronk, to me, seems like the best combination of projected points per game and ownership at the tight end position, because I don't think he will be used as a buck at all.
So I kind of like this angle for both like Rojo or Gronk, because they spread it around so much, you're less likely to get a super concentrated game, you know, from one of these guys for two games in a row.
Yeah.
But if you feel confident about them winning a couple games, then playing like those ancillary pieces who might just hit the roulette wheel on that being their big game. Like you could totally see Gronk or Rojo having big games here. I kind of like the Galbrain play for Tampa.
I like the Gronk call. If you're going to fade Kelce, I think he's one of the more interesting tight ends. Rojo to me is the perfect Mostert corollary. We're like, team could win through this guy? They've done that. They had a stretch where he had whatever, 3 straight 100-yard games. They've committed to him in plus scripts before. They don't seem to really like Fournette. We've seen that down the stretch. Even when Rojo was out, they weren't committing to him in the same way they were to Fournette. Arians has made these comments, whatever. Like, you can think what you want about Rojo. I do think they think him getting 20 carries, especially in plus script, helps them win. And if they go on a run, I can see a scenario where he's a big part of that and is sort of the Mostert, you know, not a 4-touchdown game like Mostert was last year, but is a big – the highest scoring player on his team as they progress.
Yeah, and while the passing touchdowns could be pretty spread out and you could be kicking yourself for picking the wrong receiver, the rushing touchdowns probably won't be as much. So you can get, you know, some concentration with Rojo. The issue with Rojo is that actually go to the Super Bowl, I don't think Rojo's outscoring, you know, one of these guys over like a 4-game stretch.
But that's 3 wins.
So what you would need, Pat, is you'd want like maybe Brown and Godwin have like good games leading up. Maybe one of them has an explosion game, but then Rojo scores twice in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true. You just need him to smash in the Super Bowl.
Well, and I was thinking that as well as we were prepping. But the counter I would say is to go back to that stretch like week 4 to 6. I know this is a long time ago, but he had the 3 straight 100-yard games. I mean, that is a scenario we're talking about, the Bucs winning 3 straight games. So it's not that hard to say that he could have 3 straight 100-yard rushing games because they're winning. They have to be winning in these scenarios.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to be winning. You got to build that lineup with the Bucs winning, because if in the game where they get beat by, you know, 10 points or, you know, more, Rojo got scripted out.
Yeah, he's so script dependent. But if you're telling yourself a positive script story, that's the Mostert thing. Like, they can lean on the run more.
Yep.
I think that is the – the other thing too, I mean, they've been throwing a ton in the red zone as well. You really need him to get like a goal line carry or rip off the big plays, which is what you want if you're trying to win $500,000.
Mike Evans thing might help you there.
True.
You know, he was a big red zone target. So if he's not fully healthy, that could help Rojo potentially.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting question. If you think Tampa makes Super Bowl, it's got to be Tom. Basically, my Rojo take would be no. It could be Mahomes, right? It could be Josh Allen. It could be Lamar and Rojo.
Right.
You could have the AFC QB.
Right.
Dan, this isn't the show to come to if you want rational Ronald Jones takes.
This is pretty rational. I've changed tactics where
I think all three of us were pretty level-headed about it.
Yeah, you guys handled that well. okay, let's see. Let's go over to let's hit some of these six seeds. Cleveland, anything here?
This is the upset spot. This is you take Chubb, like you do not fade here. Like you take Chubb, you take Jarvis Landry. You take Austin Hooper because I think they can beat the Steelers.
Yeah, Davis, you're literally the public. This is like going to be the, this is going to be the spot I think where everyone wants to take.
No one's taking Hooper. Chubb.
No. You're right. But people want to talk. People want to talk themselves into the Cleveland upset because it's like I can't pick all favorites. I got to pick an upset. I'm going to take Cleveland.
I think if they win though, like. I mean, yes, maybe Chubb breaks off like a 70-yard touchdown run or something, but I think it's much more likely that the passing offense has a huge game. Like Baker plays really well.
I completely agree. I was thinking about this before the show. Like if you're going to take, because I kind of like this upset too. If you're going to play it through the passing game. That's going to get you different.
Yeah, that's good. And even
Browns D, bro.
It does give you some interesting takes too, because like Hooper is a good call. I think I think Landry is the obvious one, but probably, and someone just said it, this is a team where you could go to Higgins. You could go to a little bit more of a Galbrain receiver. They've done that enough. Like they've been unconcentrated enough with their targets.
Yeah, that gets a little tougher. Like I wouldn't mind Higgins as like a one game, like a one and done thing, but if they win two games, it's just really hard to imagine him outscoring Landry and stuff, and you're not even getting that much extra ownership discount on Landry versus Higgins over a two game span.
Yeah, Landry's going to be really low owned, I think.
But I love the idea of the passing game here because there's multiple ways you win, right? Like it's a shootout game and you get Landry or Hooper or whatever putting up some points as a soft fade and they're out. Or yeah, they just upset
full Levitan and play Baker Mayfield when it's not necessary.
I don't want to talk about Levitan's cash lineup right now. But then they go on the road. You know, if they upset, then they're going to KC, and then they're throwing a bunch there as well. So I love the Browns pass game. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Let's go to the Rams. Dan Masterson in the chat calling a shot with the upset here. This is a tricky team, I feel like, for this contest, if you do believe they win again.
Yeah. Sorry, I was fiddling with it. I was increasing the Cleveland passing game. So I'm like, oh, I think that's going to be a sharp play. this is a tricky spot because I think people are going to want to play Cam Akers, but there's not going to be a ton of confidence that the Rams win, and then you've also got plays in the passing game. It sets up a little bit similarly to the Vikings last year, where people still got on Dalvin Cook, but he was in like the 20 to 25% range. And then, you know, you had Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen that you could play, but they both ended up coming really low owned. So I have Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp being a little bit more owned, assuming we get Kupp, but
Woods, baby. Sir Robert of Trees. Give it to me.
I think these guys are going to be overly owned.
Because there's only two guys.
Well, I think the Rams, because no one wants to pick Chicago or Washington. So when they look at the NFC, like four game options, they're like, okay, there's all the favorites. And then I like the Rams as like the week one under wild card road team that could do something, you know? Does that make any sense? Because the other wild card NFC teams that are on the road, no one wants the Browns or the Bears or the football team.
Yeah, the Bears and football team will be the most popular hard fades. Yeah. Right. And then the Rams will probably be one of the more popular soft fades. I could see kicker Pat maybe getting up here for the Rams.
But do you think they get bumped up because of the Bears and Washington being more popular hard fades, and people want to balance the AFC NFC sides, and if they're thinking, oh, I want to go away from the chalkier NFC teams, then the Rams seem like the Browns, like Davis was saying, the Browns are the big wild card weekend upset pick. They're like the only NFC wild card weekend upset pick.
Yeah, that's a good point. In my first run, I was like, there's not going to be that much to pick against on Seattle, but I do wonder if people soft fade Seattle more than I was thinking so that they can play a guy like Akers more.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and so, and then again, looking ahead, so if the Rams win, then they're going on the road to Lambeau to play the Packers too. So I don't know if that points us in the direction. It does make me like the passing game there if you are telling yourself a story of the Rams upsetting.
I think this game is played on one side or the other as a fade or a soft fade, like a soft fade through the kicker and defense, a lot.
Yeah.
So if you... And the totals, you know, the Vegas total would tell you like not to do this. But if you were to play this game as a shootout, that would be pretty unique.
Seattle and the Rams.
Yeah. Cause I think you'll see a lot of like, if you're taking Akers, you're probably soft fading Seattle. If you're taking, you know, a lot of Metcalf teams will want to soft fade the Rams.
I actually like the Rams as an upset and the Bears as an upset, honestly.
Right. When you said you like the Browns. Pat said you were the public, and then my case was that you're like basically the Rams were the NFC's Browns, and then
I like the Bears. I like the Bears as an upset more than the Rams. I wouldn't play Cam Akers at all, but I would play Woods or Higbee or something. But I think that using David Montgomery, Allen Robinson, pretty rational for
that's
from the
super
Bears.
Super interesting. They're the biggest dogs this weekend.
They play the Saints, though, right?
Yeah.
Saints are just not good. I'm sorry. Like, look, whatever. They're not good. Well, Drew Brees is 43 years old.
Well, let's talk about these two because both the seven seeds, Chicago and Indianapolis, have pretty interesting running back plays. If you want to go there. Also, I'm just going to mention if you guys are watching. Subscribe to the channel. We are so close to 1,000 subs. Get us to 1,000 subs. We're going to have multiple shows this week. On Wednesday, we'll have our old RotoViz pals, Blair Andrews, Hassan Rahim. We'll be diving into ownership more. And then on Friday, we're going to do a final build show. I believe we have Dinkmeyer booked, maybe Leone hopping on. So a full week of playoff challenge stuff. If you're listening to this on the Sports Grid podcast, Davis will tell you what he wants you to do.
Yeah, just you know, keep listening to the show and everything. I don't have anything specific to promote right now.
Let's talk about the Bears.
That's a great sell right there. you know, keep listening to the show.
Please keep listening. Help me keep my job.
I'm begging you. All right, Chicago here. If this is the upset spot, I mean, Montgomery and Allen Robinson will probably go under-owned here. If you get two games out of them, that would be pretty nice run out on either of those guys, I think.
Yeah, yeah, no one wants to publicly tout Trubisky, but I'm doing it.
Wow.
You're tossing Trubisky?
No, just that Trubisky can win a playoff game. Oh, yeah. I mean, the Twitter haters, they would be disgusted, dude, because like no quarterback gets more dirt thrown on him than Mitchell Trubisky, who like is not good, but he's like mostly fine. Like Mitchell Trubisky is like one of the 30, he's like one of the 30 best quarterbacks in the world. And you like, people treat this dude like he is garbage.
Nobody passes more dirt on this guy who is not good.
Davis is doing like the leave Britney alone meme for Mitchell Trubisky right
also,
now.
The Bears are about to like recommit to this dude. Like he's doing
which
fine.
Is okay. Like, yeah, that's hilarious, but still, you know. What's their choice? What's their choice?
Anything else.
I can't believe they made the playoffs.
You want to pick them to win
because they're playing the Saints. They're playing the one team that I'm more cognitively biased against.
Davis, the mental gymnastics with your takes on this show, I'm getting exhausted just keeping track of all
you. Well, you have to, dude, because there are so many different holes to jump through. You have to be doing mental gymnastics to even literally make one lineup, much less like 20 of them.
To me, Pat, at your ownership right now with Montgomery, I almost would want lower ownership on that if I'm trying to nail this big upset.
What's the number there?
18. Because I think there'll be massive chalk to fade, you know?
Biggest. Yeah.
I have him 52% fade, just clear cut. And then I also think people will play the kicker. And then I have Allen Robinson at 9%. And then Cole Kmet as a mega galaxy at two, just because
there's your tight end galaxy.
I'm in. Of course. I literally didn't even. I was like, they'll laugh at me. Like, these dudes will laugh at me if I bring up Cole Kmet. But you know, I'm pretty interested.
Cole Kmet's a galaxy brain. Plays a secret galaxy brain.
Davis loves this team so much. We're about 2 minutes away from a Cordero Patterson tout in the FFPC.
Come on. There's defense though.
I'm kind of interested at Allen Robinson, I think, because I am in general agreement with Davis. I think this Saints team is kind of a paper tiger. I feel like Allen Robinson might be a way to soft fade or get two games out of the Bears as well if it hits.
Yeah. I think he'll be their most popular guy, more popular than Montgomery personally.
Really?
Yeah, just.
Yeah, Montgomery's going to be what, 10%?
People are going to expect him to trail, and so, you know.
See, I'm with Pat. I think Pat's ownership is right. Yeah. I think Montgomery will be more popular. But to that point, which I would rather just have the lower owned of the two, regardless of who it is.
Yeah.
I just want
Gretch to give us a soliloquy on Jonathan Taylor and how the Colts can win this game.
Oh, I mean, he's the man. It's funny. We were talking me and Leon were talking last week for our FFWS, the final draft, and we were looking at Taylor, and we were talking about Week 16. He got off to such a hot start, had the two touchdowns early against the Steelers. They ended up losing that game, in part because they got away from him. They sort of gotten this back and forth, up tempo game, and they started using a lot of Hines. And then we only really like Taylor. And then my take was I really liked him as well last week because coaches look at that and they say, we got away from what was working. And this week they got back to it. They gave him 30 carries for 250 yards. The guy's obviously incredibly talented. He's been very good for like 6 weeks. I mean, I don't know like what kind of soliloquy on his talent you want, but he's amazing. But I also think like right now the Colts think their best chance to win is riding Jonathan Taylor. And running
100%, that's what they think. Yes. Yeah.
And he's going to be – do we have any game script concerns for Taylor? Because I do think he's going to be popular, even with people playing Diggs, as like a soft fade pick. Do you think he can smash in a game where the Bills, say, have a lead most of the game?
Who's going to debase themselves and say T.Y. Hilton's name first?
I don't To answer your question, no, I don't think that Taylor can do great if they lose because they go to Hines.
Yeah. And so to me,
well, that's
to
the me, pick there.
Hines is the soft fade pick, right?
Yeah.
I think Hilton is better.
He's interesting too. I do have him on my list. Davis. But if you're wondering
about it. It's not good. It's not good, but
yeah. No, I have Hilton 2%. I mean, I've got him at twice of Michael Pittman's ownership. I think Pittman is maybe in play as a super.
Oh, wow. Now we're getting the deep cuts.
It's so gross once you get off of Jonathan Taylor.
So I do think that this game, similar to the kind of Tennessee-Baltimore situation, is where you can get a leg up on people making structural mistakes, because I do think a lot of people would just jam Diggs and Taylor in this spot. And not really thinking of those ramifications. If you're playing Taylor, you want them to win, in which case you do not want to eat up a dig spot there, a chalk digs in a loss.
Taylor Bass.
And I was just going to say, one of my biggest takeaways from this call, talking to you guys more as we go through the teams, like strategically, and I was trying to make this point with the Rams, but the AFC has so many better teams. You want to play someone from both sides of the Ravens, Titans. You want to play someone from both sides of this Colts game. You want to play potentially someone from both sides of the Browns, Steelers even. And I think also structurally, like, people are going to maybe not fade two NFC teams entirely, but I think a lot of people will do that with the Bears in Washington. But like, there's going to be advantages to fading some of these AFC wildcard weekend teams that it could be the Colts. Like, they're really actually a really appealing hard fade. If they lose this game, it's not Taylor. And Hines doesn't do enough in his work. They spread the ball around. Hilton doesn't do enough. They're pretty appealing. I don't know. Maybe you're projecting them to be a popular hard fade. I don't know.
I have Rodrigo Blankenship as a pretty popular kicker.
Okay.
Just because it's like, yeah, I get a high scoring game. I'll just take the kicker. It'll be the passing game, but I can't pick who's. It might be Zach Pascal or something. So I'll just grab the kicker points.
Yeah, and we see it every year. Like, the name brand kickers do get a boost, and Rodrigo Blankenship was a name brand kicker this year. He's going
to
be
maybe only a name brand kicker to you and Denny.
No. I mean, Rodrigo, he's dude. If you're in these season long streets, people love this guy. You get the spectacles. He's basically our generation's Justin Tucker, Davis.
Well, Denny really matters here because people are going to be going to the projections on these kickers. So
the
guy who does kicker projections is going to be driving ownership.
I do think that is. I think Rodrigo and Taylor will be pretty clearly the top two most popular Colts.
Butker, the mega super secret galaxy brain.
Who?
Harrison Butker.
Oh God, that is just, that has to be the worst pick. But people will have it, dude. They have it every year.
They do. All right, okay. I'm gonna go eat dinner.
All right, we will wrap this up. Thank you guys for tuning in. Like I said, we'll be back on Wednesday. Pat, I think you're even going to be doing, are you doing something with Leone on Established Edge?
Yeah, I'm jumping on with Leone tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. So we will have nonstop wall-to-wall FFPC Playoff Challenge content for you this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you on Wednesday with Hassan and Blair. Peace out.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.